All right. Hey, 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 good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. What's the date? November the 12th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you are at. Definitely more wintry today. Chill in the air. Seasons have changed. Winter's on its way. Yada, yada, yada. Feels good. Feels good. Got up this morning, you know, feeling better. Obviously been sick, working my way through it. Actually feel pretty good. Got up this morning and went and met with the boat club this morning, moved some boats, getting ready for some winter paddling, packing away the summer boats, and got to load up the winter boats and get ready and paddling tomorrow morning. Tomorrow's going to be a big day. Oh, paddling at 10. And then I got to hustle out of there, go grab my dad and take him to an attorney's office so we can do some legal stuff. He's finally able to get out and get around, of course, with me driving him and taking him. But, you know, he's not dealing with the challenges he was dealing with before. So that's really good. I know it makes him feel better. I feel better. So I'm going to be a lot of hustling tomorrow. But really great to get up this morning and go hang out with the boat club and move these boats. It's a little chilly. Had to wash the boats, welcome to winter, some cold hands, but it was fine. Grateful I feel better. I got a text from one of the people I work with. They're like, I'm really sick. I'm not coming in. And I'm like, you probably got my cold. I think it is going around. My wife is sick. Everybody around me is probably going to be sick. And onward and upward. So sorry. That's living. Not much you can do about it. It is interesting though, you know, I shared the other day, I really have not tried to take any, sort of medicine. My friend who was sick texted me, she's like, Theraflu works. And I was like, oh, good, good. But I just refrained from using anything. Just let this freaking cold be a cold, let the sucky parts be sucky and just move through it. And to be honest with you, I feel good today. I'm not stuffed up. Definitely did not use any nose spray. And, you know, if it keeps on this trajectory, I will say that it really benefited me not to use the damn medication. And, yeah, that's just my weirdness I'm going through. I guess it's at my age. 10 years ago, I would have taken Theraflu and nasal spray and every other thing. And today at my age, I just said, let it go and let's see how it works. And, you know, avoiding immediate relief, I think in the end, gives me relief quicker without dragging it on. But anyway, that's my enough with the medical talk. I thought I would just sit down. I am going to work today. Went to a meeting last night. I love the meeting I went to. It is a big book. Still finishing. I think we were finished. I don't know what we were reading, to be honest with you. I have to look it up. But I think it was to the families. Maybe it's to the families, maybe. It was great. It was great. But, you know, the cool thing was there was a couple people there who had two guys were there. Both had 2 days, and I was sitting next to a guy, and I think he said he'd just gotten out of the hospital, and man, the look in his eyes, right? The look in his eyes, he looked like he's like, what have I got myself into? How did I get myself down this far? What happened? His mom brought him, and of course, that's always great to have support. I was proud of them. It is tough. You know, it made me think about what it was like on my second day. And I just remember, I'm like, how am I possibly going to do this? How am I going to live without the freaking alcohol?
Yesterday has been and gone. Tomorrow will I find the sun or will it rain? Except me, I'm the lonely one. I live in shame. I say goodbye to romance, yeah. Goodbye to friends, I'll tell you. Goodbye to one. chance that we'll meet. We'll meet in the end. I've been the king, I've been the clown. Now broken wings can't hold me down. I'm free again. Jester with the broken crown. It won't be me this time around to love in vain. I say goodbye to romance. Yeah. Goodbye to friends.
And to all of you, come on. Yeah, anyway, Ozzy Osbourne, oh my God. I grew up listening to that song, and when I listen to it now in this context, it seems to make seem a lot different to me. And it is just like getting sober, man. It is like goodbye to everything. And I can't, it's been a while. I got sober initially in 1997. I was in a dark, dark place. I'd like to say I felt hopeless, but I don't know if that's actually the case. I was pretty content, and I sort of got shuffled off into recovery because of my big mouth. Got into a fight, I've shared before, ended up at the hospital, and that would be the beginning of my journey. And I'd like to say that I made a conscious effort, a conscious decision to get sober, but unfortunately, that is not what I did. I made a conscious effort to go hide. And whatever, right? Whatever. I went and hid, and this had sort of happened to me in the past before. I had come to situations, moments where I was completely ashamed, ego devastation, complete humiliation, and I thought I have to get sober, and maybe went a few days, right? Maybe had, you know, put a couple days under my belt, but it was absolutely doing it out there on my own. And the difference this time was that I was up at the hospital, and the second night I was there, two gentlemen from the AA program came up and asked me if I would like to go to a meeting. If that hadn't happened, I'm not sure I'd be here, right? I really, because it had been, I'd come to this crossroads many times, right? I can't continue to do this. I'd been in jail. I talked about getting in a fight with my neighbors upstairs, going to jail, getting arrested. I had to call my uncle to come get me. That would have been a great opportunity to get sober. The writing was on the wall, Tom. You are not good under the influence. And I probably went a couple days. I was ashamed and embarrassed, and you know, the devil had left. But the problem was that there wasn't a program there to, I didn't seek one out, and the program did not seek me out to help me try to find a better path. And so eventually I would pick up a drink again, and off I would go. And so the difference this time is the program came and found me, and I don't know. I really, you know, it's one day at a time. It's such a great phrase, and it can be implemented in so many things in my life, you know, to keep it reminding myself one day at a time. But the idea of staying sober for the rest of my life just never seemed possible. And yes, we go through that list. You know, we have to, I mean, who am I not going to be able to hang out with, right? Where are the places I'm not going to be able to go? What are the things I will not be able to do? I love the idea of not being able to drink at my children's wedding, right? On this path, I wasn't going to have any kids. And if I did, they probably wouldn't want anything to do with me. So it's funny how I fantasize about situations that I wasn't going to have. But it is, you know, it's one of those moments. What am I giving up? But the reality is I really didn't think about it like that. It was the one day at a time. That day they came up, they brought me down. to the meeting. I sat there. A few people made fun of me, or you know, in a loving way, right? Like you're worse for wear. You know, had stitches, fat lip. It was a mess. I got a little embarrassed, a little bit ashamed, but you know, I was fine. They poked fun at me and then they loved me, and it just was okay, right? I was fine, and I went back upstairs and slept. And you know, the next night I think they came up. I thought it was a Tuesday. They came. We had a meeting there Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. So that Thursday, they must have come up, asked me if I wanted to go to a meeting. I said yes, and just went with it. Right? Just went with it. I was completely out of the environment of my house. I was completely out of the environment of the people, my coworkers. I was in a facility, a hospital, and I was just free enough from it to just step through a little bit. Went to that second meeting, right? And then, you know, proceeded to go to another meeting. And then one of the biggest gifts that I think that I received, which was we had an outpatient program. IOP, I guess it's called, Intensive Outpatient Program. And part of the deal with me going into the hospital for 5 days was I had to do this intensive outpatient program. And I think the lady that ran it came up and saw me in the hospital, talked to me. You know, we're on day three, right? And, you know, gave me what we're going to be doing. And I was excited. And I started to feel like maybe this was a chance, right? This was a chance. And I just went with it. And I remember doing that outpatient program. And we met every Thursday at, I think, 5 o'clock. And I, you know, I was there and, you know, wanted to prove to the people in my group that, you know, it was almost like, who's going to show up this week? Who's going to fall off? And I just somehow one day at a time, you know, got through it, right? Just got through it, you know. And I was talking, you know, it's hard for me. I have to... You know, sometimes I have to be careful because I don't always know how to talk to newcomers. I mean, I do, but, you know, part of me wants to be like, you got to find God, you got to do this, you got to do that. And it's really, you know, it's not the message. It's really not the message that's appropriate for the time, right? And so I didn't share until the very end. And, you know, my message to this guy was, you know, welcome. Right, we appreciate you being here, and this is not a punishing program. This is not or else. Even though everything on the walls says it's or else, and this is a punishing program, but the reality of it is not. And you know, when I came into the program, I didn't know what to make of it. I just sort of went with it. But I think inside, I felt like this was a punishing program. This is what I got for what I've done. How I behaved for so long, this is what you get. And you're right. You don't get to have a drink at your kid's wedding, and you don't get to hang out with those same people, and you don't get to do this, and you don't get to do that because you are a drunk. And so it really feels punishing, right? Especially when, you know, and I've been talking about this hopeless, right? Hope. Hearing other people's experience, right? And I felt hopeless. Part of me, because I was losing this thing that I'd been doing for so long, which was drinking alcohol every day. And yeah, there were times that was really bad, but there was also times that was very glorious, right? Some of my greatest moments were me by myself in my little one-bedroom apartment drinking and, you know, wondering what the future was going to be like. It was going to be amazing, all this shit. And there was a place of comfort there. It was a toxic relationship with alcohol, but there were parts of it that I really loved. And so the idea of not having that did feel hopeless, right? But when I came into these groups and, you know, I was trying to share that yesterday or whatever, it was that, you know, to hear other people's experience, right? That is where we start to get hope that we might have a chance, right? And it's always, you know, trying to keep it, you know, green, keep it basic, you know, one day at a time. And all those little things were so helpful to me. And but I just wanted to tell that guy, those two people last night, this is not a punishing program, man. This is, we're the lucky ones, right? I don't think people in addiction realize that, you know, you really have to go through almost like a, I don't know how to even say it, almost like a portal, right? You almost have to go through this horrible experience, right, to get to a place where we can learn from these 12 steps and learn from this program and learn from the people in this program how we can actually, how I, right, can be a better person, right? And then it's up to me, right? You know, I love that. I love people say, "Oh, this brain of mine," or "the my mind," or you know, just rant, like no explanation for why we do the things that we do. It's just bad luck or good luck, right? And the program I feel has taught me, you know, to exactly see how my day is going to unravel, to exactly see how, you know, a bad behavior could start or a good behavior could start, right? And so there, I don't think you can just be a normal person, right, that hasn't walked through this fire, right, and come out on the other side. And I just don't think a normal person can use the 12 steps of this program to find out who they are, because I don't know. I mean, maybe you could. I guess that would be church, I suppose. But like, I've never been in a place in my life before I got sober that I was going to be available to look at these steps and realize who the person that I was. And once I walked through that fire and took the beatings and you know, finally got down to the place where I got down to and became willing, right? Then all of a sudden this book shows up and it just teaches me how to have an amazing existence, right? It's a bonus, right? It's a bonus. Unfortunately, we have to, you know, really get beat up to get to that place. But man, once we're there and we get the opportunity, this is not a punishment. This is a bonus. And so that was my message to him, to both of them, right? This is not a punishing program. This is an opportunity to really learn who we are and why we do the way the things that we do and how to move forward managing it, really. And, you know, and then after the meeting, I talked to the one guy and he's like, "I'm sorry I didn't talk. I didn't know what to say." And I go, "Honestly, man, there's nothing to say, really. You know, you really don't have anything to say. My suggestion would be to try to get to a meeting every day, 90 and 90, right? 90 and 90. Meetings, you know, and I've shared this before, meetings are a great opportunity for us to transition from the person that we were and the life that we were living and the folks that we were hanging out with and the behaviors that we were doing. We can come into a meeting, right, and start to see other men and women be examples to us on how, you know, we want to behave, how we should, you know, hopefully want to behave, set, relax, listen, right? And then hopefully, you know, we start getting a little bit better. And honestly, I know a lot of the people that I hung out with prior to March 31st, 1997, they didn't stick around very long, because if I'm not drinking, right, and I'm not doing any drugs and I'm trying to behave, that just unfortunately makes people that do want to party look like they're even worse. So usually they start to eliminate people like me, right? Just like I would not particularly want to hang out with someone that's, you know, drinking a lot of beer. You know, in fact, I don't hang out with anybody that drinks beer. I have a few friends that drink, but I couldn't tell you how much. It's none of my business. But most of my circle of friends don't drink, right? Because, you know, I don't want to hang out with people that drink. That's, you know, that's no fun for me, and it's no fun for them. So, but yeah, it is. Yeah, and so I told the guy, I said, "Listen, all you." What I would suggest is try to make a meeting for every day for 90 days. And I said, "All I think that you should say is, 'My name is this, and I have 3 days, and that's all I have to say. My name is Mike, I'm an alcoholic, I have 3 days, and that's all I have to say.'" And that way it allows you to share a little, right? But, you know, and it also allows you, person that's, you know, working through this, right, to hear how many days they have. So hopefully, you know, one day when that, you know, the demon does show back up and wants you to drink, you're like, "Man, I don't want to give up my 8 days, right? I don't want to give up my 9 days." And I said, another thing he should remember or understand is that, you know, I understand that you have 2 days, but there could somebody that could come in tomorrow that has 1 day, right? And even though you have just a couple days, you know, you are an example for the newcomer, right? As soon as we come into a program, we have the responsibility to try to help another alcoholic. It's just the way it is, right? And I remember early recovery, I'm like, "Well, what could I offer? What do I have to offer? I got 5 days and 10 stitches, right?" And someone said, "You know, just the fact that you're here and trying, right? It just, you know," because there's also something that, you know, when you come in and you're new, That you feel sort of out of sorts because there are people with, like, you know, I remember hearing people have 2 years, 5 years, 15 years. I'm like, holy, I can't imagine that, right? I can't imagine that. And I also, and immediately I feel like I probably don't have anything in common with these people. So, you know, it's nice, and we should, we do. Listen, people with time, you know, it's that's the other thing. One day at a time, we all have today. Right. And I shared it with the guy. I go, one of the worst parts about getting sober is the time, right? Because, you know, I looked at him last night and he was run through the ringer, man. His mom was with him, you know, it was you could tell it had been, I think he'd just gotten out of the hospital. God only knows what his story is, but he looked pretty beat up. And I said that, you know, today you feel absolutely horrible, right? And then there's tomorrow and you'll feel absolutely horrible. And then there's the next day when you feel a little less absolutely horrible, right? And every day we get away from the day that brought us in here, we start to feel a little bit better. Yes, we start to have time. We start to put a few days together. In my case, that was really difficult for me to do. I didn't ever really have many days that I would go without drinking. So to get 4 or 5 days, you know, it was a miracle. I was so proud of myself, but I started to feel better. Right, the stitches started to heal. Right, when I came into the program, it was obvious that I had a big mouth. Right, and someone shut it. Right, it was pretty clear that whatever my lifestyle was, it was getting me into situations that weren't healthy. But eventually, you know, 2 weeks later, you know, doing the outpatient program, the stitches get taken out. I start to heal. I start to come back, looking back to normal. Right, and then, you know, those voices start. Right, the demons show back up. And it's happened to me before. And the cool thing for me was that I was in that outpatient program and I started to have like quality friends. I started to have quality conversations. I started to do quality things with quality people, right? Started to go do men's breakfast and we started to go to meetings together. And I tell you, you know, I've had a lot of friends in my life. I've had some really great friends in my life, but I would say 98% of those friends were part of the lifestyle that I was living. And just because, you know, I'm selling meth and doing drugs doesn't mean that I can't have some great relationships with friends. But, you know, they tend to go away when the drugs go away, right? They tend to go away when the alcohol goes away. They tend to go away when we stop going to the club, right? And, you know, but I all of a sudden came into this program, in this outpatient program, and I met Tim and Rick and just a bunch of great guys who were all trying to do the same thing. We're all rooting each other on, right? There is some real magic to one alcoholic helping another. And if it wasn't for that outpatient program and for those guys, I don't know if I would be here today. And I hope that guy that I met last night has some outpatient program, but I'm like, try to get to a meeting every day, right? Say your name. I'm an alcoholic. Say how many days you have and then shut up, right? Shut up and sit down. And BB was calling. Uh-oh. I pray for these guys. I try to keep my message simple. Try to get to a meeting every day. Just do the best you can. Call me. I told the guy, call me every day. It doesn't mean I'll answer. I'll see if I can just try to support you in the beginning. But man, it's tough thinking about what life is going to be like without drinking. And, it's a deprogramming, right? We're breaking bad habits. And, I'm really grateful today that I am sober. There's days it can be boring. You know, I sometimes miss the drama, but not really. There's a part of me that says I do, but the reality is I really don't. I am so grateful that I'm at my age, that I'm not under the influence of alcohol and drugs, and that, you know, I can show up for my family. That was the other thing, you know, he was there with his mom. You could tell she's just been through the freaking ringer. And, you know, I have kids. I can't even imagine, you know, I worry about my kids now. I couldn't imagine what it's like to know that my kids were out there running the streets, drinking and partying and carrying on. I'd be just a freaking mess. So I know, and I've seen many mothers come in with their kids to the program with hope in their eyes. You know, they're just, please, just get sober, please. And so I'm rooting for these guys. Hopefully we'll see him again. I gave him my phone number. I said to call me today. We'll see if he calls. Luckily he still has a job. And I said, listen, man, I know this feels bad, right? This is the opportunity to, you know, really try to make some progress to get sober. But listen, it can get worse, right? This is, your mother's still with you, right? You still have decent clothes. You still have all your teeth. Believe me, this program, if we don't address it, will take us down and beat us farther and farther until we have nothing. And sometimes it takes people that much. It's unfortunate. I had many opportunities to get sober before I ended up getting sober and did not take them, right? I did not choose. I was in jail. I was going to get sober. I had sworn off drugs and alcohol, and it was over. But when I got out of jail, man, I got high that day, and I'm like, what happened? So it's tough, but hopefully this will be their turn. And let's see. Let me see if I can do a reading. And then what time is it? What's the time like? Yeah. It is funny, though, when we're trying to get sober and we start thinking of all the things we won't be able to do without alcohol. It's like my life was headed nowhere, right? It was headed nowhere. It really should have been. I guess I won't be able to sit in my apartment in 10 years and just drink alcohol, because that's really what I did. It was pretty pathetic, to be honest. All right, daily reflections. Let's see what this says. Then I'm going to go to work. All right, November the 12th, morning thoughts. Ask him in your morning meditation, and you can do each day for the man who is still sick. I'm going to read that again. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. Yeah. Yep. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 164. For many years, I pondered over God's will for me, believing that perhaps a great destiny had been ordained for my life. After all, having been born into a specific faith, hadn't I been told early that I was chosen? It finally occurred to me as I considered the above passage that God's will for me will simply that I practice step 12 on a daily basis. Furthermore, I realized I should do this to the best of my ability. I soon learned that the practice aids me in keeping my life in the context of the day at hand. That's right. Yeah. All right. Listen. Thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day. I'm going to let this play out. Great song. Wish we lost Randy Rhoads and drugs and alcohol, man, flying in that freaking plane. Awful. All right, later. And to all of you, come on now. See you.